And that is why music is an important tool as a part of exorcism. And sometimes if some of you, you know, you bought a house that was haunted and you don't know what to do, very simple, just play music 24 hours through the whole house or play scripture reading, and within a year, if there had been any demons, they would have packed up their bags and gone. Without you having to do anything, it's just the presence of God that constantly fills a place. And to a certain extent, some of the things, we know that right now in the air, there are radio waves and TV waves. Some of it is good, some of it is neutral, a lot of it is bad. You and I can't hear it except through an instrument, a radio or television. But it's in the air. All those things cause an atmosphere that is beyond our detection in the spirit realm. That is why when Christians begin to be able to broadcast the word and begin to broadcast 24-hour worship, there will be what I call a sub-psyche level of influence that will flow through a place that you don't realize, but that lifts you up. And music plays a big role in those areas. So the second tool of exorcism is music, the use of music. Third tool in the book of Acts chapter 19. That's the last one. Acts chapter 19. There is a particular incident during Paul's ministry. It tells us in Acts chapter 19 verse 11. When God started doing unusual miracles in verse 11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. So that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick. And the diseases left them and the evil spirits went out of them. Now, we know that handkerchiefs don't stalk. The only thing the handkerchiefs contain was the overflow of the anointing of God that was manifesting. And when those handkerchiefs were brought to the physical bodies of people who were demon-possessed, the moment the handkerchief touched them, the demons flee. How is that possible? Because there is what I call the latent power in an anointing. The anointing in itself is a form of spiritual energy that has an effect on the physical world. It's a powerful dimension. So, demons can just disappear when you contact the anointing of God in whatever form or way. That is why there is no one method for deliverance. I know that sometimes there's a whole school of Christians who try to mix counseling with deliverance, and they end up trying to every soul problem was a demon problem. And so sometimes the people go through those kind of deliverance sessions and they feel better. But guess what? They keep on going back because it has now become like a habit that they depend on. Every time they feel down, they think it's a demon, and they go to those schools, they feel good. It's some sort of addiction to the process. It's not really freedom. They just got addicted to something new, a new type of method that is not scriptural. Because the Bible says when you're free, you are free indeed. And so that's not true freedom. And that's a kind of being addicted to a formula and a process where when you feel that, oh, someone has taken authority over all those things in your life, you feel better and you run off with it. That's not scriptural at all. Show me a Bible scripture where they did that. None. So I was talking to a pastor a year ago when he was telling me of this new method they discovered. I say, find me a scripture in the Bible that allows that process to take place. There's none. Because the only way that the Bible deals with demons is to cast them out. That's all. So there must be a biblical process. Now the anointing has latent energy. It has latent energy to heal. And anointing, you know, don't take lightly the anointing of God. When there's an actual anointing, there's a lot of energy available to do anything that God wants. And in the book of 2 Kings, there's an interesting incident when Elisha died. The Bible tells us here in the book of 2 Kings, after the death of Elisha, there's Elijah, then there's Elisha. Chapter 13 of 2 Kings. Elisha died and he was buried. And they actually buried him in that area, somehow was near to a well, or was in a well. In verse 20 and 21, 2 Kings 20 and 21, Elisha died and they buried him, and the raiding bands of Moab invaded the land in the spring of the year. So it was as they were burying a man, that suddenly they spied a band of raiders, and they put the man in the tomb of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. That must be a frightening thing. You know, here was this man, they're carrying this dead man to bury. And there's Elisha's tomb next. And they passed by, a group of raiders there and came after them. They ran, but it was too heavy to carry this dead man. So they threw this dead man into Elisha's tomb, and they ran. As they ran, this man fell in, got resurrected, woke up, and said, "Hey folks, I'm coming too!" And guess what? Those guys ran faster. Right. So, there is no way that the dead man was exercising faith. There was no way that the two men who carried him was exercising faith. There was no way that Elisha, who already died, and he died a year ago, and his bones are all bleached or whatever it was, and all dried up, was exercising faith. Nobody was exercising faith at this time, but there was enough residue anointing in Elisha still for one more miracle. So when this dead man touched the dead bones of Elisha, he revived and he woke up because there is energy in the anointing. So it's important for us to realize that demons can also come out just purely by the anointing of God. You don't always have to do something. That's why sometimes, you know how when the presence of God is there, sometimes people got touched by the anointing of God and they fall in the spirit and all kinds of things are happening. Sometimes you got these busybodies who come and start talking to them and trying to do all kinds of things. You're not supposed to do that. Leave God work in that person's life. And God, when He finished working in a person's life, the anointing will drive out every sickness and demon in a person, and the person will be alright. And sometimes people jump into to try to do something because they want to feel like a hero. Oh yeah, it's, you know, it's them who's doing the thing. Let God get all the glory. And so it's important to understand that number three, just the pure essence of God's anointing can cast out demons. Now, how do you have an anointing? If you want to test this out, test this out. All right. Now it's going to take time to test it because you have to be in a meeting where there's a great anointing manifesting to tap some of the energy to test it out. But at other times, there's always some level of anointing flowing. So you could test this out. Take one of your favorite coats or jacket, right? And every time you spend time in prayer or in worship, wear that one. Bring that one constantly to any meeting where there's God's presence for a whole year. At the end of it, watch and see what happens every time there will be some energy that's still left in the jacket, and then wear the jacket to sleep. See if there is an effect on your dreams and on the presence of God in your life there usually is. There's a flow over. And that's just a side small effect. The greater effect is an anointing of God that can flow through the whole thing. There have been times an anointing has been strong, and strong enough to impart to some material form, and you could take some material form, like they took aprons and handkerchiefs from Paul, and it was effective. Yes. You can bring yours constantly for prayer in the presence of God. Now, test it. You don't believe, test it. If some of you feel that, you know, that in wherever you are and you constantly feel depressed or whatever, you know, or you demon area, test this out. Just by the pure anointing of God, you know. I mean, we welcome you if you want to do that. Every Sunday, you know, put something there for to be anointed, and we keep praying away over and over again. Every time you're 24-hour worship, and you pray away, and soak in the presence of God, soak in the presence of God, and then you go back, you know, you got to be a bit careful though when you put on the jacket, because you don't want to put on the jacket near a log or fire, because when you put on the jacket, you may get slain by the power and fall on the fire and burn your hair. Right? So, but there is, an aspect of the anointing of God in that is yet untapped. So I give you three keys to exorcism. Number one, by the spoken word, which is the most common way. Number two, by music. Number three, just by the pure anointing of God. Letting the presence and anointing of God does its work. And those are the biblical methods of exorcism that anyone can avail themselves of. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and